Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren on Memorial Day this Sunday. And we're glad to have you with us. And we're blessed for the sermon entitled, On This Very Spot. And our scripture lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. While you're looking that up, I found out recently that I was doing a little bit of that genealogy thing, you know, looking back through my family tree. And I found for the longest time it didn't fork. But as I studied back a little ways, I came across one of my family members who was quite the entrepreneur. Yeah, it turns out he was a veterinarian and a taxidermist. He had a sign. I saw a picture of his shop down in Frederick, way back, and he had a sign that hung over the door, and it read as follows. Either way, you're going to get your dog back. It made me laugh. It's still making me laugh. On this very spot, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back for you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When he had reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham! Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on that boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering for his son. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. May God add his blessings to that passage as we seek him out in prayer. Father, wake us up this morning. Let us set aside the world and everything that we have planned yet today. And be here dwelling with the Holy Spirit, listening to your words, Father. That you have given, that you have arranged, that we may be stronger and better enabled to spread the gospel the way you would have it, so that more and more will come to know Jesus. That's our job. We thank you, we will get it from this sermon. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. They measure this kind of stuff. And it's the job I think I ought to have. Somebody gets paid to do this. In 2020, because they only do it once every couple of years, but in 2020, they measured the state of Maryland and found 766 instances of this. And I went on and started looking at it and saw it broken down by county. And in Washington County, right here, is the fifth highest amount of instances at 43. Three of those instances mean incredible things to us right here on this very spot. Now, they cause me to get in trouble because I don't have a lot of sense. Some of you may have already figured that out by now. And when I see something, I go to it because I'm attracted by shiny things and I don't have much more of an attention span than a fruit fly. Colonel Thomas Cresap, the legendary Indian fighter, named his 500-acre proprietary land grant Long Meadow. He received it in 1739. He built a log home and a stone fort because he was preparing for the bloody border dispute between Pennsylvania and Maryland. He wanted you Pennsylvaniaites to stay over there. Just kidding. Which ended only, instead of war, by surveying of the Mason-Dixon line in 1767. He sold it to a Prince George's County lawyer in 1746 that had increased by then to 2,131 acres. Colonel Henry Bouquet, a British officer in the French and Indian War, bought it next, and by now this area was a farm of 4,163 acres, and then it was divided. In 1789, Thomas Hart, a wealthy merchant, bought it with a partner, Nathaniel Rochester. Hart's daughter, Lucretia, married a statesman from Kentucky, Henry Clay. There's a name you ought to know from your history. Thomas B. Hall, a government tax collector, bought it in the 19th century, and he was a shyster. He ran off with tax funds. And after years of litigation, by a deed of transfer signed by Chief Justice John Marshall and Associate Justice George Story, gave Longmeadow to Dr. Richard Reagan, who had purchased the property in a public auction. And so it went on. The next owners were the Young family, and they lived at Longmeadow from 1885 until 1974. And in 1974, Longmeadow, where the house is, over on the Marsh Pike, was bought by Judge Daniel Moylan and his wife Anna. Now, why is that important? Two things more to go. Just up the Marsh Pike a piece is the venerated and excited 100th mile marker of the Mason-Dixon line, right up there, the 100-mile point at which they swore would separate the North from the South. And the third thing comes from this book. Now, if you don't know this book, I'm sorry for you. In 1936, a man named, last name of Henry, wrote this book called A History of the Church of the Brethren in Maryland. If you're a Church of the Brethren person, you know it as Henry's History. This book that I hold in my hands is a very embodiment of today's sermon as it was donated to the church by the Cunningham family and has marks therein, including where they marked my elder Daniel Leatherman, responsible for many of the churches set up in Maryland, including this one. But I would like to read this to you. The membership centered around Paradise Hill, where a schoolhouse was built in 1832, which was used for both school and preaching services until 1850. The building was neglected, and a meeting was called in 1853 to meet at the place and raise enough money to remodel the house, which sat right out that door in the back. Captain Henry Clapper presided as chairman, and George Petrie doubled his first subscription, but the effort failed and the house was abandoned. Jonas Rowland was present at the meeting and argued that a new brick church should be built instead of spending money on the old house. Some sharp differences of opinion developed, and Rowland offered to show his good faith when he agreed to, quote, burn the brick and erect the church at his own expense. The first building was 40 by 30 feet and was finished and dedicated in 1853. This room right here on this very spot. Membership grew rapidly and a new church was planned. The building committee consisted of George Petrie, Andrew Boward, and Daniel Scheller. The new place of worship was now 40 by 70 feet and was dedicated in 1881. They increased it. The congregation has been served in the ministry by Joseph Wolfe, Henry Kuntz, Jacob Hellberger, Joseph and Leonard Emmert, Andrew Koss, Daniel F. Stauffer, Barton Shoup, F.D. Anthony, Abraham Rowland, John Harry and Elmer Rowland, J.A. Butterball, and Harry Zeller. And the congregation had a membership of 205 with an active Sunday school when this book was written in 1936. There has been some serious preachers come out of this building over the years, including several that have gone on to garner their own churches and have preached for many years at them, right out of on this very spot. I get lost in that stuff. There are 766 historical roadside markers on or about roadways in the state of Maryland. And 43 of them exist here in this county. And did I say I'd get in trouble? Ask my wife when I see one, the brakes will come on. And we're going over to the side of the road so I can read it because I want to know. Because I'm always looking for my name. Did I do something here? No. But if I keep stopping like that, something on this very spot's going to happen, and it ain't going to be funny. How important is it to remember? How important is it to remember? We all say these things like, hey, you remember that time, or you remember this, or you remember that. And yet there are certain points in our life that we erect a monument to. Not necessarily a stone or wood or a brick mortar, but a place in our memory. It became so serious that after the war between the states was over, you may know it as the Civil War, the Decoration Day came forth to remember and honor those that had fallen in the greatest conflict this country had ever felt, has ever felt. And so they went around putting ribbons and flowers on graves to remember those who had served and died for their country. It grew into Memorial Day. And we started remembering those who have served here in this country or far away and have passed on in the service. Some as career military people. Some by giving the ultimate sacrifice and dying that we may be here free. How important is it to remember? When I was looking at this scripture, I was trying to figure out how to build this sermon. I had the idea, but I didn't know the scripture. And I kept going to one scripture, and every time I read it, it didn't make sense. I don't understand this. And so I got into an argument with God because I'm not very bright. Have I not told you that? I argued with him about what he was telling me to write. Remember, I'm sometimes about as sharp as a marble. And it kept telling me, you're going in the wrong way, boy. You're going in the wrong way, boy. And then I hit on this scripture, and the more I read it, the more I realized this is the answer. When we read this scripture, we always think about faith. Because Abraham was told to take his only son that he had to have when he was way late in life and haul him up on a mountainside and kill him. There's a number of fathers in this room. How many times has it been on your heart to carry your child up to a mountainside and want to kill them if God told you to? I'm not talking about if they ate the last cookie. Right. But he was told to do it. So yeah, it's a faith and it's a test. But that's not the only part of this scripture. When I was starting to read through it more and more, I began to fall in the way of thinking, he's marching off to do the order of the Father, to protect what he is building. He, Abraham, is telling people of God, of the greatness of him, of the existence of him. He's telling him of the beauty and the glory. And yet God calls to him and says, take that boy to where I tell you to and kill him to prove to me that you love me. And he goes. We all know the rest of the story. You can imagine it any way you want. I've watched that movie I don't know how many times, The Greatest Story Ever Told. And that scene when they're going to do it, he walks over to his son and his son suddenly realizes what's going on and falls limp. And I believe it's Gregory Peck in that part maybe. And he carries him over and lays him down. And tears are coming down. And the child is whimpering. And that knife flashes into the air and it starts on its way down when the voice calls and it stops. I see now that you love me more than these. Look over there. When it was all said and done, this spot was important enough that it was recorded. On the mountain of the Lord will be provided. And they left a monument to it that is still there to this day. On this very spot, God made himself known that he was Lord of all. It's a scripture of remembrance. It's a scripture of power. It's a scripture that when you stop and think about it, how many times have you gone somewhere and said, hey, remember that? Well, let me tell you about the latest one. I did a wedding here three or four weeks ago. I did it here. And the family said, we're going to have the reception a couple days later at a farm on the other side of Frederick County. And I asked them what farm. And they said, well, this is the name of the farm, the Remsburg Farm. And I went, no. And they said, yeah. And I got all wound up about going back to the Remsburg Farm. And my beautiful bride of these 20, almost 3 years, coming up soon, she's like, what is your problem? I said, when we get there, I'll show you. When I was a young boy of 12, 13 years old, 14, the state of Maryland had decreed that all boys of a certain age back in the 80s had to go get tested and get a piece of paper that said you was allowed to operate your own tractor on your own farm. Isn't government great? But I had to go do this, and I had to be recorded for it. And I had to go take a written examination of the parts of a tractor and how to drive one. And then I had to go drive one in front of a certified tractor driving youth inspector. And that farm is where I took that test one evening. I drove my wife to the exact corner of the barn where I took a tractor out, showed how to start it, showed all the engine parts, took it over to a piece of three-point hitch PTO equipment, hooked it up, operated it, unhooked it, and put the tractor away. I took her to the very spot where I became a certified tractor driver. Even got a shirt with a T on my chest and a little greasy cape that flows out the back. That's what we do when we memorialize. We put it in our mind so we don't forget. It's that important. That's what we remember. This is a scripture of remembrance, of teaching us that anything that God wills in our life is just that powerful. Now it's time for a little bit of congregational participation. Yes, everybody's going to join in with Pastor Paul today. and you on the other side of the camera, we have enveloped a new device in the YouTube video that you watch that allows me to watch if you're doing what I tell you to do. And if you're not, I have to come to your house and fuss at you. And that goes for you too, Charles, because I know you watch it, but I'm still not coming to Africa yet. All right. If you have ever known a soldier who has served in the past, put your hand up. Everybody look around. Put them down. If you have someone who was in your life that's now gone, but you remember what they were to you, who they were to you, and what they were to you forever, put your hands up. If you have ever been served, loved, and that lasting effect is with you every day, put your hands up. We do this because we need to remember why things are just that important. From the moment that we can, we teach our children the greatest memorial song ever. Ever. Know what that song is? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen. Jesus loves me as much as he does you and everyone. Everyone stand up. Take this hand. Place it here. On this very spot. Later, knowing that all was completed and that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge on it and put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant and lifted it to his lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And from that day forth, on this very spot, he erected a memorial to his love for you, to his ever-loving, all-saving grace from now and forever. On this very spot, we remember, we memorialize all of those who've loved us, all of those who have served us in whatever way, and we remember the Jesus that gave it all that we would be saved. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for reminding us that on this very spot, you came in and saved us when we didn't deserve it, when we didn't think we needed it, when we didn't even want it. Father, today we honor our thoughts and our prayers and our mindset to all those who have served us, be it as in the military, who have given the greatest sacrifice, to the firefighters, to the rescue personnel who have perished in the line of duty to save us, tow truck drivers, to mechanics, to nurses, to the bagger at the grocery store, to those that we have drawn close to us and love, to those who have gone on, and to your Son, we remember them today on this very spot, now and forever. Thank you, Father, for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.